Today's gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. It's found on page 806 in your pew Bible. The parable of the talents. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have at least received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, from God our Savior, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My senior year of high school, I was in the play, The Diary of Anne Frank. You know the story, I'm sure, of the Jewish family that had to hide in the attic of another family during the Nazi occupation of Holland, and they had to be absolutely breathlessly still during the day so no one would find out that they were hiding in the attic of this family. I was Peter Van Dan, who was kind of the boyfriend of Anne, but he was also hiding there with the Frank family. And it was a very serious play because of the context of what it was about. But I remember that scene when a noise was made and the Nazi soldiers were coming up the steps to retrieve us. And just that palatable fear I felt even as an actor acting the story out. Fear. Fear can be such a debilitating response to life. It squelches us. It immobilizes us. It allows us not to even be our true self. Fear. Fear can be managed. Fear can be overcome as we experience the grace of Christ. Today you heard a parable, the parable of the talents. The kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1, each according to his ability, and then he went away. Most of us are familiar with this parable. On the surface, this parable is about good works. It's about doing good with what you've been given. Even the title that I chose, Live Responsibly, is kind of the way that I thought I'd be taking this sermon in the direction of it. But it also speaks about doing the right thing. And it's important for you to know that a talent is a money. It's money, okay? The NIV, the new inversion of the NIV, translate talent as bag of gold. And that really is what it is. It's a lot of money. My study Bible says it's 15 years of wages is one talent. So we're talking about not just, you know, a few hundred dollars. We're talking about several thousand dollars, even up to millions of dollars that these slaves are entrusted with. And the parable is about doing good with what God has given us on one level, but on a deeper level, this parable is about God's grace. I'm grateful to a Bible teacher, Anand Madhavan, who did a video series called The Mystery of Grace. He's from India. He has a thick accent and teaches profoundly about this parable, the parable of the talents. And I'm sharing today really insights I've gleaned from listening to his teaching. It's a profound parable about God's grace, how we use our resources, our abilities, our time, and all these things of how they're used outside of the walls of the church. And there are four principles about grace that this parable highlights and that teaches us about the profound mystery of grace. And I want you to, if you'd like to write these down, on the front page of your handout today, there's always things I've learned, things I want to remember, things I want to take down. So if you'd like to make note of these four points, you can do that. So first off, grace is at the heart of stewardship. Grace is at the heart of stewardship. Verse 15 in the parable, it says that the master gave them each one according to their ability. So the man is the owner. The servants are not to be taking over the wealth. They're to be stewarding the wealth. The wealth is not given to them to do whatever they want with. They are stewards. They're caretakers of the money that's been entrusted to them. It's not stewardship. As we realize in our own lives, is not ownership. When you think about it, we don't actually own anything because everything that's been given to us, when you break it down, is given to us by God. Our abilities, our money, everything that we have is God's gift to us. So don't miss the heart of grace right here in this parable. He didn't give this landowner, this master, he didn't give his earnings to the bank. He didn't give them to a financial planner who would have taken care of them. He gave them to his servants. Now, this is millions of dollars in today's money. This is not just some little bit of money. This is millions, literally, of dollars, and he's giving it to his servant. Now, a servant doesn't deserve to handle that kind of money. It's not their expertise, likely. He didn't give them... It's like having your pool man or your housekeeper take care of your investments. That's kind of what this is about. These servants didn't deserve what they were given. But isn't that a great description of grace? We don't deserve what God gives to us, and yet he gives freely for us to receive. Stewardship isn't a business contract. It's a relationship of trust. Biblical stewardship is an expression of grace because we cannot have a sense of entitlement with the gifts that God has given to us. We are just holding on to them for a time, and then we are to care for them and do the best we can with them. But stewardship is an expression of grace. Secondly, in this parable, grace inspires entrepreneurship. Grace inspires entrepreneurship. Now, there's three servants. One had five talents, one had two talents, and one had one talent. And one with one talent was afraid, it says, and he hid his bag of gold in the ground so that nothing would happen to it. The other two received this money, this gold, and they went out right away, it says, and invested the money, and it shows how much they enjoyed God's grace. They weren't afraid of being used by God to expand the kingdom. They did all they could. They used their gifts, each according to their abilities. You see, fear will lead to a static and unproductive life. Entrepreneurship is being faithful. It's being smart, intuitive, inventive, diligent, and passionate about using all the skills, talents, and resources that God has given to us for the greater good of people and for God's glory. That's why we exist, right? It's so cool here in the parable that God applauds entrepreneurship. What does he say? When they bring the money forward and they've doubled their money, he says to them, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. We labor for God's applause." When I was doing my internship for pastoral ministry, I was supervised by a great pastor, Pastor Blair. And ministry is overwhelming. It's a lot of things that you don't feel like you can ever get to or that you should be doing. And you could work literally 12, 15 hours a day if you wanted to or needed to accomplish the things that you're doing. But you got to question yourself, when you're working that hard, are you working for God or for yourself? And Pastor Blair was really good at that because I was sharing with him my discouragement of feeling like there's just more to be done than I could ever do. And he said, "Jeff, you know, at the end of the day, what I'd like you to do is just to sit somewhere quiet and let the words of Christ wash over you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant." No, we're not going to do it all. We can't do it all. But as following Christ is on my heart and what I want to do, he's pleased with our efforts. It's also very interesting in this psalm that what do these servants do? The one with five talents or five bags of gold who made it into 10, and the one with two who made it into 4, they bring all of that money forward and lay it at the feet of their master. That is what worship is, isn't it? It's bringing our life, all that we have, and laying it before the Lord. It also prepares us, this parable, for Christ's second coming. You know, one of these days, Jesus is returning. And this parable is one of those, as it says with the scripture today, in the Psalms, "Teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart." This parable shows us that there is something we're working toward. And when Christ returns again, I want to be counted among those who say, who he says, "Good, well done, good and faithful servant." All the only time we have is the time that we have. And this parable encourages us to make the most of the time. So number three. So we had grace is at the heart of stewardship. Grace inspires entrepreneurship. And thirdly, grace inspires self-awareness and contentment. Grace inspires self-awareness and contentment. Which of these three had the deepest enjoyment of grace? Well, the one who had five went off and traded them all and made 5 more. The one who had two had went off right away and made 2 more. The one who had 1 was afraid and dug a hole and hid his master's money. The 2 went off at once. They were thrilled that the master entrusted them with such responsibility. And they did the best they could with the money that they had been received to steward. It's interesting, though, which one do you think is the most appreciative of the grace given to them? Well, the one with 5 talents, he got the most. And so obviously, he's going to be fine with what he got. It was given to him according to his ability. No need for jealousy there. What about the guy with two talents? Do you wonder, why did I just get two talents and he got five? It doesn't say that in the parable. He works as diligently with his two talents as the one with five. He's not jealous of the one with five. Last week, Pastor Jeff Johnson talked about God's sovereignty, right? He is good with God's sovereign plan, and that God knew that what he could handle were two talents, and so he works diligently with the two that he's given. You see, when we experience grace, when we experience that God has our lives and holds us, it leads us to contentment, self-awareness, like, I am whom God made me to be, and I'm good with that. I don't have to be like that person or that person over there. I can be who I am fully in Christ. When we have contentment given by God, it will prevent restlessness and competition and strife. And so knowing who you are, am I like a five bags of gold or a two bags of gold or a one bag of gold servant? I'm okay with that. God knows our abilities. He gives us grace. And as I said, even the one talent, it's like $1 million. I mean, it's not like a small amount of money. It's a lot of grace entrusted, even to the one with just one talent. Fourthly, grace demands accountability. Grace demands accountability. Now, God didn't create the workers equally. They're given different tasks, if you will. But all three were given grace. And it makes us ask, well, who am I that I can accept that God has made me to be who I am? How can I live the best way with what I have? But really, live in contentment, self-awareness. In verse 19 in the parable, it says, the master returned and settled accounts with them. So there's accountability in this parable. It wasn't just do whatever you want and enjoy your life. He returned and settled accounts. And that's where it gets into the meat of the story. The one with five found five more and is praised for what he does. The one with two has two more and is praised for what he does. The one with one says this. Master, I knew that you were harsh, a harsh man, reaping what you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground where you have what, here, have what is yours. The master replied, you wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reaped where I did not sow and I gathered where I did not scatter? And then there's punishment. Kenneth Bailey, who's a really gifted Bible scholar, one who really tries to understand the parables in the context of Jesus' day, wrote about this particular parable, something to this effect, that this servant had a very poor perception of his master. And he sees him as a harsh judge when that is not the intention of the master at all. If God is the master, you know, this servant saw God as harsh and cruel and mean. And in a way, he got what he was looking for in the master. So the master calls to account the servants. Friends, God will judge us. God is going to judge us on what our life has been. But the really good news is that Jesus took our punishment. To accept the sacrifice of Jesus, to believe in him, to call him your Lord and Savior, turns everything around. Because everyone is judged, but those whose names are written in the book of life are not punished. Everyone's judged, but those who trust in Christ are not punished. We are judged not for our pain and punishment as Christians, as believers. We're judged so we can experience forgiveness, So we can see how much has been given to us, how much has been taken away from us by Christ. And so when we're judged, it's not to make us feel pain and punishment. It's to help us glorify God in our redemption. We're judged also so that God will reward the good that we have done. As it says in the parable, "Well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master." And now this parable ends. And as our men's study, when we read it this Wednesday, and guys, if you'd like to join us, it's Wednesday morning at 7:30. We're always meeting in the room 5 and 6 over there. We were talking about this parable, and all of us kind of felt like, that's kind of harsh. I mean, throwing him out just because he didn't, you know, invest the money. I mean, he gave him his money back. Is it really that big of a deal? But let's look at what this says, the consequences of life, really. The man who hid the treasure, this is what happens to him. So take the talent from him, give it to the one with 10 talents. For all those who have will be given more, and they will be given in abundance. But those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's described in this parable is the reality of hell. The reality of hell, there is judgment and there is punishment. In this section of Matthew, chapters 24 and 25, Jesus says that phrase at 4 times. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it kind of brings us to some questions like, is it wrong for a loving God to punish people in hell? Why doesn't he just forgive everyone? That's one question. The other one is, does hell even really exist? And third, does hell imply a cruel or even a sadistic God, that God would punish people to hell? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So I think it's worth talking about. We don't talk about that very often. There is an afterlife. It says in Ecclesiastes that God has also set eternity in the human heart. In Christ, we know that there will be a bodily resurrection. Now, to answer the first question, is it wrong for a loving God to punish people in hell? Why doesn't he just forgive everyone? I don't think any of us have a problem with criminals being punished, do we? If someone's raping someone, if someone has child trafficked someone, if someone has robbed or stolen or murdered someone, even with the laws that we have, which are imperfect, we know that guilt and things that are done should be punished. And so hell is the punishment for what's happening, when there's a crime, there's a punishment. Does hell exist? Well, what does it describe it as? Weeping and darkness. So the darkness is absence of light. The weeping is sadness. And the gnashing of teeth, I always wondered about that. What does that mean, gnashing of teeth? Is it people suffering, people crying out in anguish? No. It's people in eternal anger and rebellion to God. Their teeth are gnashing because they are so angry at God that they would never turn and repent. Only a God who doesn't punish evil could be seen as cruel. If you think about that, that's true. God has justice, and the people in hell are not crying for mercy. They're rebellious towards God. Jesus tells us about this because he is kind and compassionate. He came to save people, not just by warning us about hell. He endured hell in our place. And if hell was not real, why would Jesus have to be punished on a cross? So the point of the parable is believe in Jesus. The parable is not just about good works, about using your talents. It's a parable about how grateful we are for everything God has graciously given to us. that grace is at the heart of stewardship, that the parable is about joyfully submitting to God's sovereign plan, acknowledging that he is free to bless each one of us as he chooses, that grace inspires entrepreneurship. This parable is an invitation to be content with what God has given us, and grace inspires self-awareness and contentment. Instead of the fearful response of the one bag of gold servant, this parable is an invitation to enjoy deep rest and great productivity at the same time. Let us pray. Lord, this parable for me opened up an entirely new meaning this week, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the abundant grace that you give to us that is so overwhelming, and we don't deserve to steward this grace, to steward the gifts you've given us, but we do know that you are the incredible giver. So Lord, as we see the example of the one with five and the one with two bags of gold, the joy of serving in your kingdom, the joy of investing into the lives of people, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to believe that. And Lord, I also acknowledge for myself and for all of us how many times we have lived in fear. Fear of not doing it right, fear of doing it wrong, fear of punishment, I guess. Fear that has immobilized us. Lord, help us to be freed of fear and enter into the grace of your goodness, the grace of your word, the grace of life in you. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.